Well, David, we made it to a Friday. Isn't that great?
We certainly did. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, with us. You know, this news that comes out every day is mind-boggling in this era. And we get to a Friday and we look for long relief.
You know, David, a lot of people are asking me and writing me about the 25th Amendment, which allows the principal officers of the government, the cabinet, to remove a president. Why in the world would anybody expect that these toadies who have been appointed by Trump would agree to that? They would not. No, we're going to have to go into an election. I don't think there's any question about that. And we'll get to the point where there's a decision made in this country. Either people will work or they won't. Either this president will be reelected, maybe because the economy stays perceptively strong. There is increasing evidence now that the economy is turning around. Democrats don't want to find themselves in a position of having to hope that the economy goes down so they can win an election, that's for sure, because that puts them in a lose-lose situation. To me, this is unprecedented. We've never seen anything like this president before. And when he says, "I am the one," in other words, the Messiah, that gets into very dangerous territory.
Well, and there's an analysis on CNN's business page this morning, Alan, how Trump's tax cuts and the trade war have set the stage for a self-inflicted recession.
Well, of course, it's the old question as to what these tax cuts actually mean. There are all kinds of warnings from all kinds of economists that if you do the tax cuts, you leave yourself vulnerable if you really need them later because you have very little to go back to. The president, for his part, keeps going back and forth, David, between we're going to do it and we're not going to do it. As usual, he leaves everybody with an idea that this country is in a very unstable position because we can't have a policy that we adhere to. So whether tax cuts happen or not is up in the air. I think as the president gets increasingly upset about the word that gets out that the economy is going into the tank, he is more likely to do something that shows that he is being aggressive about it. In other words, tax cuts.
Meanwhile, the G7 is bracing for its next encounter with President Trump. This from the Washington Post. Like an annual holiday gathering where the main goal is to get through the day without a family explosion, one of France's main objectives as host of this weekend's Group of Seven summit is to minimize the chances Trump will blow it up.
Well, that's going to be hard. There's a lot going on there, including the fact that South Korea and Japan are not agreeing on the way in which North Korea has to be played, whether or not this infects the G7 is another whole story. But we do know that the Japanese are not happy with the South Koreans and vice versa. And when Trump is present, nothing can be said to be stable. The whole question as to whether Russia should be readmitted into the G group is so fascinating because many of us think that Trump has been in Putin's pocket for quite a while now and he'll be arguing for it. What a film this might be later on, that a president of the United States actually falls into the hands of the Russians.
Speaking of falling into hands of LaPierre, a story in the New York Times, how the head of the NRA survived a revolt and is getting even. Newly disclosed documents revealed a sweeping effort by top officials and lawyers to oust Wayne LaPierre, chief executive of the NRA. Not only has he remained, but he continues to influence the president.
Well, no question. He makes a phone call and the president reverses himself on important gun control policy. That means the president is counting on LaPierre's help and money in the upcoming 2020 campaign, and he will get it. There's no question about it.
Well, the climate continues to wreak havoc and change. One of the man-made problems, however, is the global worry about the fires that have escalated in the Amazon. Brazil's government complaining that it's being targeted in a smear campaign by critics who contend President Jair Bolsonaro is not doing enough to curb widespread deforestation, the threat to what some call the lungs of the planet.
He says he hasn't got the money to do it. I don't know what that really means, whether he's trying to put pressure on others. But he is clearly for the deforestation effort. You know, it's very hard to argue that most places in the world have done that, have taken precious resources and ruined them. Basically, his argument is, you people are a bunch of hypocrites. When we want to do it, when our loggers start these fires, which is what the accusations have been, and when people are trying to remove the rainforest in order to develop, get on us, but you didn't get on yourselves for that. He is not exactly a hero, that's for sure. But that's going to be his argument. That has been in his argument, and this is a terrible thing for the rest of the world, because 20%, I believe, because 20% of what we have in terms of our oxygen comes from the Amazon. It's an awful situation, and it doesn't look like it's going to get any better.
And it's certainly getting even warmer in Greenland. We've been talking about that being mixed with politics, but if there's any evidence that climate change is well underway, listen to this, Alan, from the Associated Press. Summer this year is hitting Greenland hard with record-shattering heat and extreme melt. By the end of the summer, about 440 billion tons, that's 400 billion metric tons of ice, maybe more, will have melted or calved off Greenland's giant ice sheet. That's an estimate from scientists. That's enough water to flood Pennsylvania or the country of Greece, about a foot, 35 centimeters deep.
You know, David, I don't know what to say. We talk about this almost daily. We know how bad this whole thing is. What is there to say? We have to get off our behinds and do something about it. Just talking about it again and again and again is hardly the point for any of us. We have to have a plan. We have to know what we're doing. The idea that this president, who is hardly an environmentalist, would offer to buy the place isn't comforting, that's for sure. So this is the worst set of circumstances this world has ever seen, and so little is being done about it. And that is the real problem. You have nuclear controls, people get all excited, they sign contracts, but here, nothing.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, joining us. Have a great weekend, everyone. You know where we'll be, right here on Monday morning.
We will, David, if the creek don't rise.